Malachi chapter 3. Malachi is the last prophecy in the Old Testament. Last word from God until the Word is made flesh. The last word was this, Malachi 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? He's like a refiner's fire, like fuller's soap. 400 years of silence after this was recorded, God didn't speak again through any prophets. 400 years of silence, then suddenly come riding into Jerusalem on a donkey was the Lord of glory. Come to his temple. Came riding into Jerusalem. The Lord, messenger of the covenant. God, come to earth. But the people who didn't know God said they didn't, said they did, but they didn't. The religious leaders who did what they did in the name of God, they didn't know God. It was all a show. A lot of just garbage going on. And when he came, he was not who they thought would come. And he did not come in the way that they thought he would come, on a donkey. They were ignorant of Scripture. Scripture said that he would. And he did not come to do what they thought he came to do. Set up Israel as the greatest nation on the earth again. Oh, he set up Israel all right. It's just not the nation of Israel. It's spiritual. And you know, it's that way now. Things hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. The Lord hasn't changed. He said that in verse 6 of Malachi 3, I am the Lord, I change not. Right before the New Testament, the Lord said, one of the last things he said was, I change not. And yet, nowadays, modern religion has said, literally, that God is different. He's not the same as he was in the Old Testament. Right? No, he is the same. It's just that men have perverted his way. But when he comes again, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, and he's coming again, when he comes again, it will be suddenly also. The Lord shall suddenly come to his temple. It will be suddenly again. Our Lord said that. In a time when they think not, when they say peace and safety, suddenly. Suddenly. Scripture says, every eye shall behold him. No secret rapture. Every eye, like the lightning from the east to the west, shall behold him. And Revelation 1 says they'll all wail. The kindred of the earth shall wail because of him and who they appear. And they'll all say, the same as they did then, this is not the Jesus that we thought he was. But he will come again to his temple. His temple.
not a building, because he said, we're going to see, not one stone will be left standing. You can build it, go over there and build it again, he's going to tear it down. Every time they built it, the Lord tore it down. Not going to be one stone left standing, except the chief cornerstone. Everything that has to do with man is coming down. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. But he comes to his temple, spiritual Israel, his people, the temple of God. Paul wrote many times, you're the temple of God, the church of the living God. He comes for them. He came the first time for them. He's coming the second time for them. Purge them. Purify sons of Levi. Purge them. Take them to himself to be his eternal bride and, yes, destroy the world. That's this Christ of Scripture. That's Christ. Because he's the Lord, he changes not. And if men knew the Scripture, and our Lord said that, they do err, not knowing the Scripture, nor the power of God. Because he's the Lord, he changes not. What he said in Genesis still holds true. What the Lord said in Malachi hasn't changed in Matthew. What he said in Genesis, he said it again in Revelation. Same thing. I want you to look with me. Now go over to Mark's Gospel. Gospel of Mark. We read there where it said that this is the beginning of the Gospel as it is written. As Malachi said, 400 years later after Malachi's prophecy, he came. I want you to look with me and listen to what the Lord did and said. The Lord who came to His temple. Literally, he came to that building when he was 30 some years old. And I didn't know this. This is something I learned in lying down and reading all week. But he went there every year. I didn't know that. Remember, he came. They brought him as an 8-day old. There was someone there he had to meet. He was 8 days old. They brought him there. Why? The Lord told him to. Why? There's a man waiting, Simeon. He's not going to die until he sees you. And you know, he came every year after that. It says there in that same chapter that his parents went up every year to Jerusalem. Every year. And he went with them. 12 years old, he was there. Remember, he stayed behind. Like Joshua in the tabernacle. I've got to go on. But anyway, I want you to look and listen to what our Lord did and said in and around the temple. We're just going to do a running account of this, okay? And I hope the Lord will bless it. Chapter 10, Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Go over there. Verse 32. And we've looked at this one verse by itself before, and it's amazing. It says, they were in the way, that is, he and his disciples, going up to Jerusalem. I don't know if you remember that or not. They were going up to Jerusalem. Our Lord, from the cradle, was headed to Jerusalem to accomplish his great work. Kind of like the Son of Righteousness that begins low, you know, starts coming up. And you can look on it when it starts coming up. But boy, when it finally gets to its peak, it blinds you for the glory of it. Christ was headed up to Jerusalem, where he would ascend to his throne, the throne of Calvary, where he would complete his glorious redemptive work, victory over sin, death, and hell, the redemption of the souls of his people, thereby purifying and purging all the sons of Levi by his own precious blood, the sun in all its glory shining. Briefly, put in the grave, as Scripture said, and then he ascended even higher to the right hand of the Majesty on high, where the Son himself right now reigns over all. In the heavens he set a tabernacle for that Son.
to the praise of the glory of His word. He's on His way up to Jerusalem. I was afraid of that. I was afraid I'd get stuck there. On His way up, it says He went before them. Oh my. He always did. He always has. He's the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He was always before us. Always went out before them, the forerunner, Lord, the captain. And they were amazed. His disciples who knew Him were amazed by Him. Amazed by His every word, His every move. They feared Him. They followed Him. Verse 32. He didn't follow them. They followed Him. He's the shepherd. Shepherd doesn't follow the sheep. Sheep follow the shepherd. Sheep don't do what the... shepherd doesn't do what the sheep tell him. What a foolish thing that is. Sheep do what the shepherd tells them. They followed Him. That's how you know they're sheep. And were afraid. Afraid of what? Afraid of Him. That's right. Ron, when he told that ocean to be still, they were afraid. What manner of man is this? The Lord's showing them who He is. Jesus? A man? God. God. The Lord. This is the Lord who'd come to His temple. Like a refiner's fire. Remember when our Lord said, "You think that I'm come to send peace on the earth?" And there's not one in a thousand who knows this verse. Our Lord said, "You think I've come to send peace on this earth? Nay, but rather a sword. I've come to set a man at variance. I've come to divide and separate." That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He said, "I've come to build a fire, to bring a fire." And He said, "It's already begun. I'm going to consume. I'm going to destroy. I'm going to purge away all the trash to what's left. The dross to what's left is gold and silver and precious stone. That's which redounds to My glory. Everything, wood, hay, and stubble that has to do with man, I'm going to burn it up. Burn it up. The Lord alone." And then it says they were afraid. They were afraid for their lives going up to Jerusalem. And it says, verse 32, He took again the 12. Again. He's going to tell them again. He's already told them time and time again. But He's going to tell them again. And He tells them. And others don't know this because He didn't tell them. They said, "Tell us plainly, are You the Christ?" He said, "I told you. And you believe not because you're not My sheep. As I said unto you, My sheep hear My voice. They know Me and they follow Me." What is it? "He that is of God heareth God's word." You don't hear them. All you do is argue about them. All you do is backtalk. All you do is want to question. My sheep don't do that. They believe Me. They follow Me. They know who I am. They know who I am. And He began to tell them again the things that should happen unto Him. Things that must happen unto Him. Verse 33, He went on. "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priest." Who delivered Him? Well, Judas did. Yes, according to the will and purpose of God. God chose him to do that. Judas did exactly what his evil heart wanted to do, but God chose him to do that. He chose 12 disciples, and one of them was the devil and the son of perdition from the beginning. Who knew that? Christ knew that. He chose him to do that. You can't... This is the Lord. This is the Lord. I will do as I will. And He chose him to do that. Judas got what he deserved, but he did what God purposed for him to do. Who delivered him up? God did. He that delivered up His Son, Romans 8, verse 32. God delivered him. "You with wicked hands have taken and crucified the Lord of glory, but You did," Peter preached at Pentecost, you did what God determined before to be done. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He delivered him. He shall be. Notice these shalls. Shall. No maybes, no ifs, ands, buts, but all shall. Shall be delivered unto the chief priest, unto the scribe. They shall condemn him to death. They shall deliver him to the Gentile. They shall mock him. According to the Scripture, every jot and tittle will be fulfilled concerning the Christ. They shall mock him, shall scourge him. They shall spit upon him. They shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. And let me add this, and I'm not adding it because it's already written in Isaiah 42, he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the isles, till he hath established the people, till he hath justified his people. He will save every single person he hung on that cross to save. Every single person that God gave him to save, he came to save them, and he saved them all. Why? Because he's the Lord. The Lord. The Lord. He's come to his temple, his people. As with everything in the universe, every work, every word, every gesture, every step taken by everything down to the smallest ant in the anthill is ordered by the Lord of glory. Don't believe that? That's the way it is. The way it is. This is his, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and inhabitant, the dwellers thereof. This is the Lord. Come to his earth. Come to his temple. His temple. Creator, controller. He's orchestrating. This is the Lord who came to orchestrate everything. From his birth to his death. To orchestrate everything and watch as, and I want you to watch with me as he maneuvers everything and everyone to do his will. From the animals that carry him into town to the animals that nailed him on the cross. To the praise of the glory of his power. Verses 33. Well, we've already read that. Chapter 11. Chapter 11. Look at this. All right. He's coming into town, into Jerusalem. He's coming into town. And the way that he comes into town was already written in Zechariah 9. The Lord wrote this down. He wrote how he would come into town. Zechariah 9. So here in Mark's Gospel chapter 11, he came into town. Before he comes, he tells his disciples to go into Bethany, into Bethphage, Bethany, and a village over there. And he says, you'll find a colt tied up. There's a colt waiting there. Tied up, a wild ass's colt. That means his mother was wild and he's worse. Wild ass's colt. Nobody's ever ridden on that ass. He said, you'll find him tied up because he's so wild. That's all they can do with him. Tie him up. Get him. He belongs to somebody else. But you tell the man, I said, let him loose. And you get him and you bring him to me. And I'm going to get on him. And I'm going to ride him into Jerusalem. Why? Because the Scripture said so. Behold, thy King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation. Lowly and riding upon an ass. A colt, the foal of an ass. Scripture said he would. They expected the Lord, the King, to come, you know, down from heaven. Well, he did. But they expected him to come out of the clouds. He's coming that way the next time. But they didn't expect him to come riding in on a donkey. Well, they didn't know the Scripture, did they? But that's what it said he would do. And here he came. Well, and another reason why he chose that wild ass's colt is a marvelous picture. If I'm not careful, I'll stay here too long. A marvelous picture, a gospel picture of how the Lord alone can and must ride every wild ass's colt. Every single person whom the Lord Jesus Christ saves is as that wild ass's colt. A wild son of Adam. Dead in trespasses and sin. A rebel against God. The carnal mind, Romans 8:7, is against God. Enmity against God. God must bring down that enmity. God must ride every one of them. He and He alone is able. And He does just that. Those held captive by Satan at His will, like this donkey was tied up. We're all held captive by Satan at His will. We don't have free will. We're held captive by Satan at His will. That's what the Scripture says. That's what God said. But God, the Lord Jesus Christ, sends the word, sends the command, gives the command, go and untie that fella and bring him to me. You can't get on him. Nobody's ever ridden him. Right. Nobody's ever ridden him. I will. You can't tame him. I will. You watch. And that wild ass's colt just settled down like a dead, broke 14-year-old gelding there. While the Lord got on him and carried him into town, and that head hung low, lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. That was His purpose in life. The Lord had him waiting right there. Oh, what a picture that is, huh? The Lord orchestrated that. Go get that. What if they say you can't have him? What? Go tell them. And He did that. Somebody said, who said you could loose that animal? Fella that owned him. Who said you could do that? Said, the Lord did. He said, oh. Yes, take him, please. This is the Lord. He doesn't ask anybody anything. Aren't you glad? Stan, aren't you glad? You wild asses called you. Aren't you glad? Well, this man is. This prodigal son is sure glad. Told myself I wasn't going to get... You know, you can't get the flesh out of preaching. You can't. I'm a flesh and blood man. I can't help it. You're not going to get past this. This is as good as you're going to get. And it's not much. But I'm telling you, this makes me happy. It makes me happy. And I wish I could get a hold of this religious generation and tell them, you think He's Jesus, don't you? You think you just don't know Him. This is the one. You think He's in your hand. You think you need to accept Him. You have accepted Him. You think you've done this and done that. You just don't understand, do you? Oh, Lord, open their eyes. Every one of His disciples knew this. Every one of His disciples knew to a man. This is no man. This is the Lord. And bless the Lord, He came and showed us that. Unless we'd be like the rest of them. The Lord came to His temple. Chapter 11. Mark's Gospel. Says, verse 9. They came into town. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is be the kingdom of our father David. He that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Verse 11. Now these are the same people that crucified him later. They drew near with their lips, you know. As they do now. Jesus this and Jesus that. Verse 11 says, Jesus entered into Jerusalem, into the temple. He came into the temple. First place he went. Came into the temple, says he looked around. They looked around. This was in the evening. There's nobody there. He came in to the temple. Came right into town. First place he went was the temple. Walked in. Nobody, very few anyway, there. It says he looked around at all, everything. And he walked out. Verse 11. He went out unto Bethany. He left. He went out of town. Back out of town. Bethany. Where did he stay? With three blessed, beloved, couple of sisters and a brother that he loved to stay with. He went there. Stay with them. But this is the Lord, you see. He'd come to His temple. It's His temple. He came to His temple and He looked around, just looking on everything. Purposed what He was going to do the next day. Looked at all the trinkets and looked around, all the stuff. And went out and dwelled with His people. Then the morning, look at this. The next day, verse 12, He came to Bethany. From Bethany, He was hungry. Saw a fig tree on the way into town to the temple. Saw a fig tree having leaves. He came if happily he might find anything thereon. When he came, he found nothing but leaves, fig leaves. But the time of the figs was not yet. There's not supposed to be any fruit there. It doesn't matter. And he said, no man eat fruit of thee forever after. He cursed that fig tree on the way into town to the temple. He cursed that fig tree. But it wasn't supposed to have any fruit. He cursed it. The leaves, just has leaves, die, shrivel up. Why did he do that? Was he disappointed? Was he hungry and agitated and aggravated? Oh no, he purposed this from the Garden of Eden. The Lord came after man fell, according to His purpose. And man had sewn him up a little apron of fig leaves. He was naked. And man was so ignorant, he thought he could hide behind his little fig leaves. Turn over a new leaf, you know. He sewed him a little fig leaves, man and his wife, and thought this will cover us from the all-seeing eye of God who looks on the heart. Yeah, this will cover us, these little fig leaves. And God said from there, fig leaves will never cover anybody. Cursed is the fig tree. That's the reason I believe the tree that I ate from was a fig tree. Fig tree. Well, he cursed it. Cursed it. Most people still trying to cover themselves in their fig leaves of righteousness. There's only one covering. Christ came to be a covering for His people. And people sew on their little patches of good work and Sunday school attendance and souls they've won for Jesus and all that. Merit badges and pens and good works. And look what I've done all my life. I've lived a good life. Surely God thinks I look like a good person. God looks on the heart. And He said, you've done it for Your name's sake. You've done it for Your own honor and Your own glory. In My name, yeah. But it's, I know. God said, I know. I see right through you. They don't know. They can't see through it. I do. And cursed are fig leaves. Cursed. This is the Lord coming in. Every move He made was purposed. Coming to His temple. Okay? All right. Then He came into the temple. Verse 15. Stay with me. Verse 15, He came to Jerusalem. Jesus went into the temple. The other Gospels say before He went in, He plaited a whip. He made a whip outside and came into that temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. He came in and purged His temple of all the trash that was in it. It was full of trash. All they were doing at this time was selling and buying all sorts of money-making, fundraising programs going on in the temple of God. The temple of God. Fundraising. The temple of God was set up for one reason. Set up and purposed by God for one thing. Not fun. Not games. Not activities.
not programs, not family gatherings, not bake sales, spaghetti dinners, fashion shows, golf tournaments, yard sales, and raise money to build us a gymnasium.
But for worship.
Worship. A man standing up with the Bible and a bunch of guilty sinners coming in need of mercy. And a man standing up declaring Jesus Christ, the glory of God, and the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and a people praying unto God, asking Him for mercy, asking Him for His forgiveness of sin, and singing His praises. That's all. That's all. That's all. That's what the temple set up for. But it had so degenerated into such a mess that what it was known for was making money. Does that sound familiar? This is the abomination of desolation. Let him that readeth understand. And our Lord said He would come when you see the abomination of desolation set up in the temple. Let him that readeth understand. What is it? And they're looking for it.
It's been here a long time.
Abominable practices going on. Abominable. And He said, look at verse 16. He would not suffer any man to carry any vessel through the temple. Don't bring one thing in here. Do not bring one. Our Lord Jesus Christ came into that town and took a whip and started beating all those wicked money-making religious leaders, kicking tables over, throwing their money out the window. Jesus? Sweet Jesus? Yeah, Sam. But Lord, this is the Lord Jesus. They desecrated His temple. He'd come to His temple. It was set up for His worship. They weren't worshiping Him. They were worshiping money. And so He kicked over everything, threw it all out, purged His temple, and said, don't bring anything in here. Don't anybody bring anything in here whatsoever. Not one thing. Not one artifact. Not one emblem. Not one thing. Don't bring one thing in here. We don't worship with flesh. Are you with me? This is the Lord come to His temple. He said, my house, verse 17, shall be called a house of prayer. You made it a den of thieves. Thieves. Will a man rob God? Yes, and I'll tell you what the worst robbery of all is. The greatest theft being perpetrated today.
Robbing His glory.
Robbing His glory. In His name. Do it in His name. Say it's for God when it's for their pocket. Right? God sees this. And our Lord did this. He did this. He came into the temple. I'm not mad at Him. I'm not, you know, I'm just showing you what the Lord Jesus Christ did. When He comes back, He's doing the same thing. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. And He's doing that now. He's purging the sons of Levi. His true people are priests unto Him. They worship God in spirit and truth. Priests of God. He made us kings and priests. And they're being purged. The disciples are standing back watching all that. They're all standing back watching all this, observing. They're learning who this is. He's showing them who He is. And they're becoming more and more. And they're not saying much. They're just watching. They're learning. House of prayer. And He went out. The Lord went out of the temple. Stay with me a few more minutes, okay? I've got 6-7 more minutes. Stay with me. Okay? Watch with me. 6 minutes. All right? He went out. First time He came, He looked around and He left. Second time He came, He purged the temple. Okay? Now He's coming back. You know, it's exactly what the Lord is going to do.
He came, his delights were with the sons of men. He came, he dwelled in the habitable parts of the earth for many years. All that, he left. He's watching, observing. And he came as a man, purged his temple. He's coming again. He's not coming into a temple. He's not coming into a building made with hands. He said this in a minute. He said, not one stone is going to be left standing on another. But every stone in my temple will be standing. Did you hear that? Every stone in my temple will be standing. I laid it. I'm the foundation they stand on. Well, they came to him, verse 27. He came back. And verse 27, they came to him. This is the Pharisees and scribes and all that. And they said, Pharisees, verse 27. I hope you're looking. He's walking into the temple again. And the scribes and priests said to him, by what authority? Verse 28. By whose authority? Who said you could do these things? Who said you could come in here? And our Lord, He said, I'll ask you a question. I'll ask you a question. If you can answer it, then I'll answer you. And then He asked them a question. They couldn't answer it. And He says,
so I'm not telling you.
Everybody that
questions His sovereignty.
Are you with me? Everybody that questions His sovereignty. You don't have a right to that. Who do you think? Tell us who gave you this right. Well, if you can answer this question, then I'll answer yours. Like the question, if He's David's son, why did David call Him Lord? If He's the Son of God, why did God call Him God? Can't answer that. Then I'm not answering you. My disciples know. All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Who gave me the authority? I did. This is my temple. You're trespassing in my temple. As God says to all His disciples, this is my earth. You've been trespassing for years. And it's not up to you to ask me or accept me. I'm not the trespasser. It's up to me to forgive you. You're the trespasser here. You're the one on trial here. I'm God, not you. I'm the judge, not you. I'm the offended one, not you. But if you ask me for mercy, I will show mercy because I'm merciful and gracious. But if you question my authority, if you demand of me, if you tell me what you're going to do with me and allow me to do, I won't answer you. I won't reveal the truth to you. I'll just deal hardly with you because you're trespassing on my earth. You're usurping my authority. You're taking away from my glory and my honor for your name's sake. And it's all about me.
It's not about you.
Right? By what authority? The Lord came to His temple. They challenged Him. They asked Him. Mark 12, quickly. They asked Him many questions. Oh, I love this. First, the Pharisees asked Him a question. And He answered them and says, they marveled. They quit talking. Then the Sadducees, verse 18, they asked Him a question. They thought they could trip Him up. So they're all trying to catch Him. They didn't believe Him. They were arguing. They were arguing with Him. They didn't believe Him. They were arguing with Him. Arguing against the truth. Not bowing to it and believing. Arguing against the truth. And He answered them and they shut up. And then the scribes, verse 28, scribes are Bible scholars, you know. There's an expert, Bible expert. And they're asking the one that wrote it. They're questioning the one that wrote it. God is so merciful, isn't it? He's so long-suffering, isn't it? How long would you put up with that? And they asked him questions, and finally when it was all over, says nobody asked him any more questions. And then he asked a question. They all quit talking. Oh, I love verse 37. Says the common people heard him gladly. Common people didn't think they knew much. Oh, they heard him gladly. He knew everything. The people who thought they were nothing, oh, they heard him gladly, because he, to them, he was everything. The people who were great sinners, oh, they heard him gladly, because he's a great Savior. The people who were unrighteous, they heard him gladly, because he's their righteousness. The people who needed a Savior, who were lost, who were dead, who were depraved, didn't argue with him. They were thankful that he came to save such depraved sinners as them. You don't have to. Oh, God shows a man his depravity, he'll quit arguing depravity. Common people heard him gladly. And the Lord said, you beware of these, look at verse 38, you beware of these scribes in their long clothing. Fella wears a robe, watch out. That's what our Lord said. Fella's wearing a long robe. And has a title, Bishop, Reverend so-and-so.
Mark him down. He's doing that so you'll think he's Reverend so-and-so. But he's full of extortion and excess.
That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Those fellas that wear collars, watch out. They're dogs, dumb dogs. That's what he said. Long robes, long prayers. Like to be seen and heard praying. He says they're doing it for a pretense. Verse 40. A pretense. Pretense. And then he sat over against the treasury. Verse 41. Look at this. He sat over against the treasury and watched people bring money in. Some of them sounded a trumpet. Look! We're making a donation to the church. Put it in the paper. We want to see how that we're giving, yeah. Who's getting the glory here? Why are you doing that? To be seen of men. They have their reward. And our Lord watched a woman, a widow woman, come over and cast two mites, about a dollar, in the plate. And he called his disciples. His disciples said, you come here, I'll teach you something. And we'll teach you something. He said, this woman has given more than all the rest of them. They gave in their abundance. They gave excess. They're not going to miss one dime of that. She gave this sacrificially. It will hurt her to give that. She needed every mite. And she gave it, though, as unto the Lord. And the Lord accepted it. And you fellas remember this. It's people like that I'm going to use to support you. And these fellows are going to devour widows' houses without a conscience for it. And you learn something. These are the ones like Elijah of old that I supported by that widow. They're going to support you. The world's not. They're not going to pour money into your pocket. But the poor people, the common people that hear the gospel gladly, they're going to gladly give, sacrificially give, because they love this gospel. You're not going to have great money. No, you're going to have enough. It's going to be from people like this. You mark that down. You mark it well. And they learned it. They learned it. They learned it. And so they didn't acknowledge the bank president when he came. The bank president came in. Oh, we're glad we need his money. No, we don't. No, we don't. This is the Lord. Come to his temple. I love this, don't you? I love this. And then, chapter 13, I close. As he went out of the temple, he's walking out of the temple. One of his disciples said unto him, Master, I believe it's probably Peter. They're walking out, and the temple was an elaborate complex of buildings, grand and glorious, the most glorious buildings ever made by man. And they were a sight to behold. Architect,
architecture, the beauty of it, the technology went into it, you know. And then one of them said, "Master, would you look at these buildings? Look at this. What? Look at this." And our Lord, in one last lesson to them, He said, "Now you listen to me. Do you see these great buildings? Verse 2, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." He walked away and sat out on the other side of the street. The Lord had come to His temple. He said, "I'm going to tear it all down. Tear it all down. Not one stone left standing on another." The Lord rebuked His disciples and us, and we need it, for being impressed with anyone, anything that has to do with man. Any man, what he says or he does, it's all going to come to nothing, including me. It's all going to come to nothing. It's all going to come crashing down. And only what the Lord does will stand in that day. All that man has accomplished, thinks he has, is going to turn out to be an abject, utter failure. All that man has built will be in absolute ruins. Technology, medicine's all coming, crashing down. Man thinks he's a god. All that man glories in will turn out to be his shame. Modern man, science, medicine, technology, modern religion that gets louder and prouder, bigger and more boisterous, more belligerent and more blasphemous than ever in the history of mankind, building bigger and bigger and bigger monuments to man's pride and glory. God says, it's coming down. It's coming down. Every stone. It says, in that day, to His people, and I read Isaiah 2, "Enter into the rock and hide in the dust for fear of the Lord, for the glory of His majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts is upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and everyone that is lifted up. He'll bring low cedars, He'll bring down. High mountains, bring them down. Every high tower, bring it down. Ships are all going to sink. The loftiness of man will be bowed down. Haughtiness of men made low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. Idols will utterly be abolished. They'll go into the holes of the rocks and caves for fear of the Lord, the glory of His majesty. In that day, a man will cast his idols to the bats and to the moles. They couldn't save him. And go into the clefts of the rock and the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and the glory of His majesty when He ariseth to shake terribly the earth." Now the disciples were watching all this. Those poor fishermen. You know, they weren't arguing with Him. They were just listening. They were just watching. And He just keeps revealing to them who He is, who He is, who He is, who He is. Showing them His glory and His majesty and His power and the wonders of His Word as it all fulfilled. And how He came for them to have mercy upon them. My. "The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to His temple. Who will abide the day of His coming?" He's like a refiner's fire and fuller's soap. That's the Jesus who came, and that's the one who's coming again. Okay. Well, the Lord used that for His glory. Brother Gabe, let's sing. What is it? "The Lord is King," number 16, in closing. Hymn number 16. "Bow to Him you must. The Lord is King." Let's stand as we